very young age and earned degrees in music education and jazz studies. She's traveled all over the country as a musician, and she settled down here in San Diego when she met her husband, Todd. They live in Carlsbad with their two boys. In her free time, she loves cooking, reading novels, and walking along the beach in Cardiff and watching baseball. Without further ado, here is Lisa.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you today. Thank you to Lauren and Melissa and Andrea for inviting me to come this morning. Mops at Christmas time is one of my favorite things to do. I love this group of women, you who value your families and your friendships and value yourselves to know that you need this time, as hectic as it is and as challenging as it can be to get here in the mornings. You need this time of community and encouragement to be the women that God has designed you to be. I am the worship leader here, the director of worship, and I just want to invite you, if you're not already worshiping with us, you know, they talked about this a little bit, I invite you to come worship with us. We do a service in the sanctuary at 8:45 every Sunday, and then at 10:30, we do a service in here, and also another one in the sanctuary. And if you have some time afterward today, I just invite you to walk over to the chapel. We've kind of displayed it as kind of a reflective art gallery. There's beautiful art in there, created by people in our congregation. It's just kind of a quiet time to reflect on Christmas. And where else in our days do we really have quiet time? A little bit about me. I grew up in a small town in Wisconsin, the oldest of three girls, with my mom and my dad. My mom is Rosemary, one of your mentor moms. Raise your hand. She continues to be a mentor mom to me. I'm just inspired and admire her generosity and her warmth. Like Lauren said, I lived all over the country as a musician until I met my husband. Todd is an American Airlines pilot, and we met at the Palmer House Hotel in Chicago, where I was playing piano bar, and he was on a layover. Yes, true story. Actually, what was really true was, after we met the first time, I think it was Mother's Day weekend, and my mom and my aunts and my grandma, we were all sitting downstairs having brunch or dinner or something. And he walked in with his crew, and my mom looked at him and said, "Now that would be a great guy for you." And there you have it. We swept each other off our feet, and I moved out here to San Diego when we decided to get married. And that was 25 years ago. We are the parents of three unique, independent, spirited children. Katie is 20, Matthew is almost 16, and Alex is 13. And 13 years ago, when I was pregnant with Alex, I was a part of the very first MOPS group here at Solana Beach Presbyterian, along with Terry Carter and Heather Creighton. And this was our family at that time. I don't know if Lauren has that first picture. That was our family the day Alex was born. And then this is our family today. Selfie! I love Christmas time, love this season. We have fun, as I'm sure you do, decorating our home, getting out our special ornaments. And I realized this year, over all this time, the ornaments that I treasure the most are the ones that my kids made when they were your kids' age. So hang on to those, the candy cane reindeer with the pipe cleaner antlers, and the little tiny ceramic pot that they turn upside down and make it into a bell. I don't know if that sounds familiar to you, but those are the precious, priceless ornaments that are on our tree. We watch the old Christmas specials, and we play holiday music. We put up lights inside and outside our home, and every year we have the big debate, white versus colored. Every year. So this year, we decided to give everybody a voice, and we did it all. We have white lights on our tree, the new LEDs on our house, the colored lights on our banister, and my personal favorite, the old-fashioned big C9 bulbs in our family room. It's messy. It's not coordinated. It's not Pinterest-worthy. It's kind of hodgepodge, and I love it. I love it because it's a picture of our lives. It's a picture of our family. We may want our lives to be perfectly coordinated and planned out, but the reality is that our beautiful lives are messy and unpredictable and uncoordinated, and occasionally we have to deal with some broken bulbs. Christmas is a sacred time, a treasured time, a holy time, a busy time, a time where there doesn't seem to be enough time to attend every classroom party, work party, buy gifts, wrap gifts, ship gifts, order, sign, seal, deliver Christmas cards, bake cookies and other treats, make crafts with our kids and for our kids, and try to decorate our homes like the ones that we see on the computer. Plus all the regular life stuff that we do, it can be an exhausting time. And when I was at your stage in life with little ones, I used to try to do it all because there's so much available to do out here. We would go to the Del Mar Holiday of Lights, the Festival of Lights at the Wild Animal Park. We would take the kids all the way down to Fashion Valley to see Santa because that was where the best Santa was, with a real beard. And that was before they had the Forum, so if that's where I would go today. But plus, there's really good shopping there. We would go to Christmas teas at fancy hotels, host large parties, bake treats for every class party, and have Katie make an ornament every year for family members, attend the Nutcracker Ballet and the Grinch at the Old Globe, handcraft Christmas cards, and creatively wrap every gift. And it was simply too much for me. It was too much for all of us, really. I could not do that and still keep a peaceful spirit. And all those things are good and mostly fun, but I think sometimes for me it was more about checking something off a list of expectations rather than just enjoying this time with the people I love. And often the stress at trying to do it all caused me to get really grumpy and suck the fun out of our activities. The kids didn't care where we saw Santa Claus. They didn't care if their treats for their party were homemade frosted cutout cookies or store-bought. And I've learned that VG's has really delicious holiday cookies. Honestly, my kids hate the Nutcracker. And if hosting, they do. I tried. If hosting a Christmas party meant that I was going to be anxious and short-tempered in the few days leading up to the party, well, why bother? Why bother having it? So what have I learned? And what am I still learning? To choose what's most important to us and to let the rest go. This year I asked our kids what their favorite Christmas traditions are, because sometimes what I think impacts them really doesn't. And this is what they said. I love that we save the trunk from our Christmas tree every year and then cut it up and burn it in the fireplace the next Christmas Eve. I love baking and frosting cutout cookies and driving around to look at holiday lights. I love watching holiday movies together. I love Sebastian, our elf on a shelf. And that's it. That's pretty simple. That's pretty low maintenance. By limiting our activities and saying no, that hard word no, to a lot of good stuff, we are able to say yes to each other and to a more peaceful spirit in our home. So as we spend time together this morning, I'd like to share some of my favorite songs with you that hopefully will encourage you as moms and as women. And my hope is that this is a time where you can just rest in your chair, in your uncomfortable plastic chair, but rest and just enjoy the peace of God that is in this room, to set aside your to-do list and just to receive the gift that is Christmas, that is Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. This first song is called He Made a Way in a Manger. A Way in a Manger, get it?
Longing for a savior, a hopeless world would wait. Sin demanded justice at a price we could not pay. But God displayed his mercy, the greatest gift of love, when we would not reach heaven heaven came to us. He made a way in a manger, a way through the sun. Messiah, the promised, before time had begun. For God so loved this world, though he knew what love would cost, he made a way in a manger to make a way to the cross. In Bethlehem, a stable became a throne of grace. As God himself, our Savior, drew near to take our place. His mother smiled in wonder. The shepherd stood in awe. The sacrifice of heaven lay sleeping on the straw. He made a way in a manger, a way through the sun. Messiah, the promised, before time had begun. For God so loved this world, though he knew what love would cost, he made a way in a manger to make a way to the cross. He is the life that died our death. The precious Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head away in the manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. He made a way in a manger, a way through the sun. Messiah, the promised, before time had begun. God so loved this world, though he knew what love would cost, he made a way in a manger. He made a way in a manger to make a way to the cross.
Well, thanks. I love the phrase, and you've probably heard it, the days are long, but the years are short. It is bittersweet and oh so true. I mean, I'm looking at some of you with your little babies, and my heart and my memory just jumps back to that time. One thing I like to do at Christmas time is display our holiday Christmas cards, our photo cards over the years. It gives me a clear picture of how time has passed, how quickly time has passed, who we've become as a family, and all that we've been through as a family, and how God has been faithful to us through it all. So I'm not going to share all 25 or 20 of them, but here's just a few of our Christmas cards over the years, just to give you a glimpse of what you have to look forward to. This, I think, was 2003. I think Alex was 1, Matthew was 4, and Katie was 8. And then the next one is a couple years later, 2005. And then that one's, I think, 2008, 2012, 2014. And then this is this year's card. Boom, that's how fast they grow up. I see the slow and steady work of God in our family. And so I'd like to just introduce you a little bit to our kids. This next picture is our daughter, Katie. That's Katie is at 6 and Katie at 20. Katie's a junior at Hope College in Michigan. And she's an adult now. She's making decisions. She's forming her own ideas. She's managing her money and her time. She's problem solving. She's choosing and carving her path. She's majoring in Spanish and sociology, and she'll be spending a semester in Ecuador starting in January. Katie is my girl, and I still miss every day, miss having her in our home. She's creative. She's thoughtful. She's wise with an adventurous spirit. She's taught me how to make coconut mango sticky rice, how to properly edit and filter my Instagram photos, and I clearly see Jesus in her in the way that she loves people. Each time she comes home, she's less the little girl that she was and more of the woman that she's becoming. And the next one is Matthew. Matthew is our middle child. See that little mischievous grin on that little two-year-old boy? That's our Matthew. He's the child that stretches me the most. He's helped me learn patience, humility, grace, forgiveness. And in Matthew, I experience great joy. The name Matthew means gift from God, which is what he is. He is our gift following two miscarriages. Matthew was a colicky baby, crying constantly for almost 6 months. And then this little joyful boy emerged, and he still smiles much of the time. God has put an enthusiasm for life and for people in him. He is tenderhearted, sensitive, and empathetic, and he's often a little rascal. Life doesn't really come easy for Matthew. He has an ADHD diagnosis, and he still struggles to control his impulses, to understand and complete his homework on time, and behave appropriately. That second picture, though, however, is when he was getting fitted for his first suit as a sophomore going to homecoming. Matthew and I have been through a lot together, and my heart has grown so big because I get to be this kid's mom. He's helped me understand the fine art of baseball. He's taught me how to throw football, making sure my fingers are correctly placed on the laces, and is proudly the man of the house when my pilot husband is traveling. And then our third child is Alex. Alex is and always will be my baby. We didn't plan for a third child, but God knew we needed Alex in our lives. He is sensible, he's funny, he's analytical. He loves our dog with reckless abandon and more affection than he will show any human being. He grounds me. Alex is practical and kind. He's taught me everything I ever wanted to know and more about the Star Wars saga and the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And his dream is to one day be a Navy SEAL. So those are our kids. You can go to the next one. Like I said, I see the slow and steady work of God in our kids, in our family. I look at Katie in that first picture when she was a little girl. I no longer see the girl that was painfully shy, who I thought, who would cry every day when I would take her to kindergarten because she really just wanted to stay home and be with me. I thought she would never leave the house. And here she is, a young woman who's traveling to Ecuador, and she's been to India, and she's been to Costa Rica. And so God has been working and growing in her, not necessarily in the timetable that I had planned, but in his time. And Matthew, our dear little Matthew, who was asked to leave preschool because he was biting and hitting and kicking and really a challenge for teachers, is now becoming this sensitive, empathetic boy whose light is just now beginning to shine. And Alex, our baby, who so flies under the radar because the other two, maybe you have this, require a lot more of our attention, flies under the radar, but is now discovering his own voice. And so I see the slow and steady work of God, and I hope that that can be an encouragement to you. Sometimes I want to rush through things. I want to get through a difficult phase, and I fret about the future for our family. Time is precious, and it is so challenging for me to stay in the moment, to stay present, to be grateful for now, with all its messiness and all its challenges and all its fears. It's tempting for me to want to jump ahead, to wonder what the next season will be like. For you, it might be when your child starts school, or learns to ride a bike, or is potty trained, or loses a tooth, or no longer believes in Santa. For me, it's my daughter signing a lease on her first apartment this summer. It's my soon-to-be 16-year-old getting his driver's license, and my baby preparing for high school next year. So this next song is a favorite of mine. I discovered it years ago when Katie was in high school. It was so true then, and it continues to be true.
She was staring out the window of their SUV, complaining, saying, "I can't wait to turn 18. She said, "I'll make my own money, I'll make my own rules. Mama put the car in park out there in front of the school." And then she kissed her head and said, "I was just like you, but you're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times. Take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're gonna miss this." A few years later, she's a brand new bride in a one-bedroom apartment, and her daddy stops by. He tells her it's a nice place. She says, "It'll do for now." She starts talking about babies and buying a house. And daddy shakes his head and says, "Baby, just slow down, 'cause you're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're gonna miss this." 5 years later, there's a plumber. He's working on the water heater. Dogs barking, phones ringing. One kid's crying, one kid's screaming. She keeps apologizing, but he says, "They don't bother me. I've got two babies of my own. One's 36, one's 23. And it's hard to believe. You're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're gonna miss this."
Oh my gosh. That was a hard one for me to get through with the tissues going everywhere. I'm right there with you. As I was thinking about today and what I wanted to share with you, and I already have a little bit, I didn't know what I really wanted to say or what I had to say. This past week, I kept thinking, oh, maybe there's some clever thing I can come up with to help your holidays be merry and bright, or maybe there's something I can, I don't have five tips on how to, you know, keep your love life alive, or, you know, how to keep your kids from being sassy. I don't know any of that stuff, because I'm going right through it one day at a time, just like you. So as I thought about, well, what do I need to be reminded of this Christmas season? And maybe that might be something for you too. The word gratitude came to me. Our Advent theme this year here at church is All is Gift, which is really resonating with me. You know, because if we believe that God, our Father in heaven, the creator of the world, is this great gift giver, and that every good and perfect gift comes from him, well, then how can I live more from a place of gratitude and thanksgiving? Sometimes it's really easy to do. I look at all the blessings. I look at our achievements and our comfortable lifestyle and our kids who are healthy. And it's really easy to look up and say, oh, God, you're so good, and give God praise and thanksgiving. But what about the other times? What about the times of struggle, the times of unexpected disappointment, times of suffering? How can that be a gift? How can I look at all the parts of my life and see all as gift? In the past few months, too many people close to me have experienced deep tragedy and sorrow. One of my good friends lost her mom unexpectedly after a health crisis that they realize now could have been prevented. Jennifer's mom was her best friend and the matriarch of a close-knit family, and they're a family in deep pain, just struggling to find their way. My friend Karen lost her son John recently, leaving five little kids after a long battle with melanoma. I know another family whose teenage son has melanoma cancer. And then just yesterday morning, Katie called to tell me that her friend at Westmont is in ICU with bleeding on the brain from a skateboard accident. Not to mention the horrific events happening all around our world. And I don't mean to be a downer, but this is real life. This is real life. This is the broken world that we live in. And real life doesn't take a break the month of December. It doesn't wrap itself up in a pretty little gift and wait to be opened later. It just barrels through the door. Suffering continued, disappointment continues, grieving continues. And so I wonder, if we really do believe that all is gift, where is there gift in this? How can suffering be a gift? And God quietly whispers in my heart, I am here. I am with you always. And that's the gift. So do not fear. So if I remember that, if I live in the presence of God, I can really start to see all as gift, all as blessing. Anything that is used to draw us closer to God is a gift. Parenting challenges, financial pressure, strains in our marriage, health issues, even cancer. Some of you know my story, but for those that don't, as a 12-year-old, I had thyroid cancer. It was relatively rare back in 1976. I had a lump growing in my neck, and eventually other symptoms came out as well. I had my thyroid removed. I received radiation treatment, had regular scans, and continue to take medication to this day. And everything seemed fine. And then in 2011, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. My doctor found a lump in my right breast at my annual exam, and a biopsy showed it to be stage 2 invasive ductal carcinoma, which is the most common form of breast cancer. Although it wasn't large, my tumor was the most aggressive type, so a lot of tests followed, including an MRI, which showed another tumor growing on my left breast. So I elected to have a double mastectomy, followed by 3 months of chemotherapy, where I lost all my hair. I think I have a picture there. Sorry, Lauren. That was when it was just starting to come back. I've had reconstructive surgery and am currently on medication. That's like one thing that now kind of makes, I hadn't planned to say this, but one thing that now kind of makes me a little bit sad, that's the only picture I have. because when I was going through it, I struggled with, I struggled with feeling beautiful. I struggled with my femininity. You know, you lose your breasts, you lose your hair. That's so much of our identity as women. But now that picture is so precious to me. That is when I first stopped wearing my wig. And if you can see, I thought my hair was just flowing at the time because I had 6 months of nothing. And as it's starting to come back, I'm like, ooh, I'm so ready. Take off that wig. And now I look and I go, oh my gosh, that's like a military haircut. But precious time. And even, and I wasn't planning to say this either, but I'll just share this. Even yesterday, I was going somewhere, and I was having a bad hair day. I think it's this humidity and the weather. And my hair was flat and greasy, and I'm like, oh, kind of makes me a little pouty. And I thought, Lisa Pittman, shame on you. You went 6 months with no hair, and then a year, when it grew back, it grows back really funky, dark, wiry, just odd. You know, that was just kind of a reality check for me to kind of go, okay, it's not that bad. We are not defined by our hair. And I learned that. Those months of cancer treatment were the hardest months in my life. They were also the times I needed God the most, and he was there for me. Gift. He was there when we told our kids about my illness, giving me strength and giving me the delicate words that I needed to tell our kids. Gift. He was there in my marriage as my husband and I grew closer and dependent on each other and loved each other. Gift. He was there in our extended family and our church family as people responded with such love and kindness and overwhelming care. Gift. He was there filling me with his comfort and his peace that can only be experienced through times of suffering. Gift. It's been almost 5 years since my diagnosis, and last month I went for a regular checkup with my oncologist. 5 years is the standard treatment plan for breast cancer, and I was looking forward to meeting that mark and moving on and being done with my medication because my health is good. However, a recent test was taken and showed that I am considered high risk for recurrence, and it's recommended that I stay on my medication for another 5 years. So I think, okay, gift that I had the test and I know what's going to be best for me, sure. But for me, the real gift is in being reminded that I just am not in control and that I have a God who is, a God who is bigger than cancer, a God who is bigger than my fear, a God whose quiet whispers of love can drown out the noisy voices in my head, the voices that say, well, how long do you think it's going to be before it comes back? Or, I've had a headache for a couple of days. Is it a tumor? Those are the noisy voices that we have. And maybe for you, your noisy voices are, am I good enough? Am I doing this right? Who do you think you are? Those are the noisy voices. And God has this so super quiet whisper that says, I'm here. I'm with you. I'm enough. That's a gift. So this next song, I don't know if you'll need tissues or not, but you got them if you do. This next song just reminds us what a blessing truly is, and how we can look at all as gift.
We pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need, and love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, for your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while, you hear each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know the pain reminds this heart, this is not our. It's not our home. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? What if trials of this life, the rain, the storm, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
Amen. Am I okay on time? Am I okay on time? Okay. I got just a little bit more here. Last year, I had the great privilege of recording an album. It was healing for me to think through my story these past 5 years and remember all the ways that God has been faithful and good, to record songs of hope and faith and share his goodness with others through music. One of my favorite songs in the album is the title, It Is Well. It's based on an old hymn, It's Well, It Is Well With My Soul, written by a man who had experienced tragedy and trusted that no matter what life dealt him, his faith and his hope were grounded in Jesus Christ. And through it all, he could say, It is well with my soul. So as you listen to this song, I invite you to reflect on the lyrics and maybe think about an area in your life that you just really hold on tight to, a challenge or something that you just can't let go of. And then my hope is that you can begin to turn that over to God, to trust in his power and his strength, so that you too, I too, can say it is well. Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice, and seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. And through it all,
My eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. It is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know His name.
So ladies, all is gift. The joys, the celebrations, the achievements, the challenges, the disappointments, the struggle, all is gift when we acknowledge the gift giver and receive His gift of Jesus. He is our wonderful counselor who guides and comforts. He is our mighty God who has power to heal and restore. He is our everlasting Father who holds all things together and holds us in the palm of His hands. And He is our Prince of Peace, whose presence brings us comfort and joy. So having received this gift of Jesus, we then can become gift givers to those around us. And so I think, in what way can I be a gift giver to my family, to the people in my life? I can be fully present with my boys as they tell me for the 50th time about the new Star Wars movie that's coming out and this new video game that they really want. I can put my phone down and look them in the eye and give them my full attention. Gift. And when my daughter comes home from college next week and her beautifully clean bedroom becomes a tornado zone of clothing and toiletries strewn everywhere, I can keep my mouth shut and not nag because she's only home for 4 weeks and then she's gone for 4 months. Gift. And the hardest one for me, I can keep from rolling my eyes at my husband every time he says something that I disagree with or think is kind of ridiculous. I'm really good at that. And that is a gift that I can give to him. So I want you to think about what one way or a couple ways that you can be a gift giver to your family this season. I'd like to close with a song that is so simple and true. It's based on one of my favorite Bible verses from Romans 8. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, angels or demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. So ladies, there is nothing that can separate us from him. Not challenges with our toddlers, our kids, not our financial concerns, not trouble in our marriage, not success, depression, addiction, helicopter parenting, materialism, terrorism, fear, sickness, guilt, shame, death. Nothing can separate us from God's love in Jesus. And so we can live with hope and gratitude because we belong to the Lord.
Not angels nor demons, no power on earth or heaven, not distance nor danger, no trouble now or ever. Nothing can take me from your great love. Forever this truth remains, that I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong to you. Not hardship nor hunger, no pain or depth of sorrow, not weakness nor failure, no broken dream or promise. There's nothing can take me from your great love. Forever this truth remains, that I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong to you. Nothing can take me from your great love. Nothing can take me from your love. There's nothing can take me from your great love. Forever this truth remains.
Will you sing this with me? I belong.
'Cause I belong. I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong to you.
I'd like us to close by singing Silent Night together. Christmas.